Mark Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, it's just gone 8:46 Central African time. Consciously connected, keeping you company, having a beautiful morning in your pious and sagacious company, the time of the morning where we go into our segment called Straight Talk over the Counselor Ahmad Farak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adan asalam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful, nice, cloudy Sunday morning. Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
Absolutely, another fine day, and alhamdulillah, you know, we really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors and his bounties, and and the answer is none. Ahmad, looking at the kafan dafan, what's the latest on that front?
Alhamdulillah, Shafat, at the moment things are very, very quiet. We're just preparing ourselves for the silly season coming, that we're making sure that that the mobs are, the staffing problem is being resolved, so there will be no delay in any accident. If there is any accident case, Allah forbids, if there is any accident cases or any drowning or anything like that, we'll be able to get our bodies quick as possible to the postmortem and we can put the deceased to rest. That's the number one that we have already taken, we gave priority to. Secondly, inshallah, this coming week, Saturday, we will be launching our NMJ Rescue 786 that will be launched on Saturday. We will be fully fledged and up and running on the 1st of December. Our teams have been employed. Our contracts have been in place. Our base is being sorted out. We have got everything ready for us for this ambulance service to run and hit the ground. And our turnaround period, inshallah, with the help of Allah, should be in the region between 3 to 4 minutes from the time we get a call. That's what our aim and object is. I have got a fully fledged team that have been handpicked from the various other government departments, as well as from other paramedics in the province. They've been handpicked, and inshallah, we'll be running. We'll be running from the 1st of December. Make dua, Allah, make it easy for us. We started with one ambulance, you know, Shafat, it is through your du'as and our listeners, and with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we started one vehicle, and somebody came through, and with the help of NMJ, they got me another ambulance. So I've got, to start off with, we have got two ambulances, which is going to be branded this week, and we'll be running on the 1st of December, alhamdulillah, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, well done there, Ahmad, and Allah bless you for your initiative that you are taking. And the barakah flows in that, definitely the barakah flows. And then you find that this season many people will be traveling all over the country. And what is heartening to note is that we have at all different provinces and, you know, different dorpies and towns, we have individuals that offer tow truck, ambulance, and, you know, mayors and so forth. Talk to us about that phenomena. There is this coordination during this time and maybe throughout the year also, which is a brilliant initiative concerning the Muslim Ummah in this part of the world. Ahmad?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, you know, when I've started Islamic Burial in 1998, today we have got with the brothers in Gauteng, they have formed the South African Muslim Burial Network. So the entire country is on the network system. So like today, there's one body that's coming from Gauteng to Greytown. Everything was coordinated last night, and the body is going to be there in Greytown where the mayat is going to be, and janaza and namaz is going to be performed, and the deceased is going to be buried in Greytown. Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. So, you know, alhamdulillah, this has, you know, when we started Islamic Burial Council, the good came out of it. People saw what we were doing, and this is, inshallah, in the early part of next year, we should finish to do the national body, and then we are on the way that what we're supposed to achieve in the whole country, we'll read from the same page, same line, and there will be one body, the Islamic Burial, National Islamic Burial Council. So, and then we got all the splinter bodies in the 9 provinces. So if there is any issues in government, so we'll be able to take it from national level. So that makes our life very, very easy. And what we are trying to achieve, as you know, in the early part of January, I said that I will be going overseas to go and check the X-ray machine, which will be coming shortly, sometime before May next year. We will be the first in South Africa to have something like that and assist the government and bring the cost of post-mortem in the country to be lowered and give the community the service, not only for the Muslim, for all our community in South Africa. And this is going to be a big plus factor. We'll be the first in South Africa, Shafar.
Looking at the message on the screen, it's from Anonymous. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Tariq. You are simply unreal. Allah bless you now and forever. We talk more about men when it comes to mayors and when it comes to foreigners. What about our foreign females? When they are not documented, or sometimes some are found dead on the road. What happens to them, and how do we as Muslims get to know that what's happening to our foreign Muslim sisters and so forth? Because this is generally something that is not brought to the public. But I know, Ahmad Tariq, you know a lot. Please share some of the moments with us. Ahmad, how do you respond to Anonymous?
Shabbat, firstly, we must understand there's a lot of foreign brothers of ours here from all the other black, from Africa in our country. And most of them, you can say that they are unregistered, you know, they don't have any documentation to even live in this country. They came through the, you know, I'm not saying the back door, but they came through the borders and they paid or whatever they came, but they are here because of greener pastures in our country. Then our foreign brothers are, you know, they are very, very good traders, by the way. And they are not lazy, number one. Number two, they go into the rural area. They will trade into the heart of the rural area. And they're very, very good tradesmen there. Some of them get shot. Some of them get murdered in that area there. But when it comes to anybody gets murdered or anything like that, and they have got, you know, they have got very, very good unity. As soon as they come to know about it, we have been informed. Then what we do is we make sure that, because they don't have documentation, that's where our dilemma comes in. Then we have to wait for the embassy of Malawi, Tanzania, or whichever country they come from. We have to wait for the next day. Now it's weekend. We'll have to wait till tomorrow to make sure that we get one of the family members from that side to give us their passport or photos or something and give us a letter and an affidavit from their country to say that he is a citizen of that country, so that we'll be able to do the documentation and bury him here. Because they do not believe in sending it back from here, like the Bangladeshis or Pakistan, India or for Egypt or any other Middle Eastern countries. They want to bury it here, and we do it. And 9 out of 10, these are 100% lilla cases. They do not have money. And in some cases, what they do is they collect between themselves, and they will pay. They want to pay especially for the coffin and pay for the transportation, for the hearse and all that. And whoever can afford, they pay. Who cannot afford, we do it absolutely free of charge. And far as female is concerned, we do the same thing too. They, you know, we always have sometimes females passes away in this country, and we also do the same thing for them, Shafa.
JazakAllah for that. Ahmad, one thing I like when you answer, you know, you're really comprehensive and you give a full answer. Allah bless you for that. And you still have a brilliant photographic memory, and Allah bless you for that. And that is only from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we talk about many things, and generally looking at another question here, it says, Ahmad Tariq, I really love the show, and I can tell you, Ahmad, please, you have all the statistics, and you're a man for all seasons. We know this time of the year, we always talk about the matriculants and the results coming. Please, Ahmad, once again, emphasize the importance of parents not to put pressure on the children, because the suicide rates, sometimes we put it under file 13, but it's a reality in our community. That's quite a good contribution. Your thoughts, Ahmad?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, you know, over the years, because I've been emphasizing, and this radio station and various other radio stations, we have been doing this shows in terms of especially metric exams, as well as a normal month where we used to have suicide cases. You know, today you're getting people getting, you know, youngsters are getting married. they get married this week, and next week they're getting divorced, and then something's passed between them and at home, or the mother or the father or anything like that, they're committing suicide. So all this, because we have taken complete analysis of this and we did an investigation, I went to all the various Jamiatul Ulama, Sunni Jamiatul Ulama, Darul Ihsan, all these, they have now put up literature, pamphlet and everything. So alhamdulillah, it has been cut down previously what was the numbers were escalating. Now it has come down. We're getting, still getting suicide, but we get like 4, 5, maybe 7 in 1 year. You might get 8 or 10, but in the early days we had like 38 suicide in one year. So that was it, and that's the one that sparked everything. And when we came to Jamiatul Ulama, and then when Mufti Bayat was the president of Jamiatul Ulama, they were in West Street, and I brought it to their attention that, you know what, Mufti Sahab and your executive, there was about 22 alims there, and we told them that, you know what, this is a problem that we face with. There's a statistic I've got, how many females, how many males, how many the age group and gender, everything I had it. You know, when I do something, Shafat, I always make sure that I give them the proper information for them to see for themselves, and giving them the proper date of death, where it happened, which area, all that. When I did that and I showed it to them, they said, no, you know, Ahmad Bhai, you know, this thing can escalate to more if we talk from the member. What my plan was, I made it very clear to them, I want Jamiatul Ulama, all the masjid under their auspices, to talk on suicide, one Jummah, one topic only. Then they said, no, this will be a, this thing, they, you know, the ulamas were not happy. Then I said to them, okay, fine. I have did my share by bringing to your attention to a supreme body of Jamiatul Ulama. It now I have already dissolved myself from anything happens from now onwards, then the responsibility will be on Jamiatul Ulama. And furthermore, I'm going to go to the press, and any literature or any media I'm going to bring this to the attention, and I will state that, you know what, I had to bring it to the supreme body of the Jamiatul Ulama. So they said, no, hold on, can you give us about 10, 15 minutes, and if you can excuse us. So I went out there reading paper, and I had a nice cup of tea. After 15, 20 minutes, they called me in. They said, okay, we have conceded on your request. Yes, we will talk on every masjid under the auspices of Jamiatul Ulama. One topic of yours is suicide, and we will bring all the alims, and we'll give them literature in terms of the Quran, what happened, and everything else, and we will talk. Then I said, Jazakallah, and I put my delegation to various masjid on the day they gave us. Shafat, you won't believe it. The following year, we only had 2 suicides, from 38 to 2. Now you can see the power of the minbar when you talk on a Jummah. Because Jummah, you normally get, it's a small, your bayan time is very, very small. It's between 25 and 30 minutes. In some cases, only 20 minutes. But when you give that message, people take that message at home. That's the difference. And from that minbar, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything he spoke from the minbar. And if that message went to the community in Medina Sharif and anything, that went to the homes, because females normally don't come to the masjid. It went to the home. The people took that message home. The following year, we only had 2 suicide cases.
Imran Khan called off that match. You know why? Yeah, the English cricket team is coming to play in Pakistan too. Yeah. Well, Ahmad, what caught your eye, what caught your ear when listening to Uwais Mijaki there?
Shabbat, firstly, the Pakistan Imran Khan, called off the match, because there should have been a lot of devastation there. There should have been, would be a rise in Pakistan. In fact, the people of Pakistan have already come to a census that, you know what happened, and by taking out Imran Khan, they are suffering more today than when he was there. So, you know, this was orchestrated by the U.S. government to get him out, because he was playing, he was taking this country to another level, and therefore they didn't want him in power. The second item there on what news reader said, the COVID in China and that fire that took place there. So this was, you know, it was there for a long time. They just bring it up now. Then the storm in Saudi Arabia on Wednesday, Thursday, that was a huge devastation there. When you could see the pictures I have received from various friends and all that. There was vehicles, I don't know how many thousands of vehicles must be damaged there. And you know, I think the drainage system needs to be re-overhauled in there. And you know, that in a storm like this, it was, you know, it was like we had what we had on the 12th of April in South Africa. It's similar to that. Then the ESCOM lights and the hospitals, they say some of the, about 80 hospitals have been affected. Most hospital has got generators, but you know, in some cases, you know, if you cannot put diesel in those generators, there's definitely, we have got reports from various government departments, especially in the Department of Health, some of the hospitals has come to a standstill because there is no money for diesel. So I'm not sure how many hospitals was affected in that day. Lastly, the children death in South Africa, in fact, to my understanding, and when we did an investigation also, that these children are getting murdered for muti and all that. So, Shafat, I'm not sure how far it is, but this is what is happening at the moment, and some of these children are being kidnapped, and actually because no ransom is coming, they are actually getting murdered because of that. So, you know, the government has got a big task in terms of its intelligence as well as the SAP and the Department of Justice. They need to do something about it drastically because, you know, you've got the festive season. Yeah? You know, people are going on shopping. Everybody wants to go and do something, and this is going to be a major issue they have to face with Shafat.
Absolutely. Well done there, Ahmed. And, you know, looking at many things, what's happening, analysts are saying that the public servants are paid very well in this country and they should appreciate the jobs that they got. But public servants in most of the municipalities are running amok. Besides wanting overtime, they are also holding municipalities to ransom. And one of the most effective municipalities is Itikweni. Do you agree with the analysis, Ahmed?
Shafat, that is 100% true because at the moment, you know, various departments in our municipality are on like on a go slope. And they have made it very, very clear to us that what's going to happen is when there's a breakdown or anything, they're not going to go out there to fix it because they're not getting paid. Now, you know, there is task teams to go and do these works and just in some cases like up to 60 hours there's no water, yet we have got a team that could come and sort that water issue out, because what is happening at the moment, a lot of these guys are coming and stealing the meters. Now when they come and steal a meter, you're losing like, you know, about 25,000 liters of water, because if they don't come in 60 hours, you lose a lot of water. That's the reason we're losing something over 51% of our water. We're losing a billion rands a month only on water. That is the problem that we are faced with. And they want overtime. I can't understand what they need overtime. Where you saw any person can work 240 hours a month overtime. You know, I don't know how the system works. And that department, how they, that whole department should be changed way over time. Because the deputy minister, deputy mayor, cut down on overtime. That's where they, after his blood at the moment, they want him out of his department, out of as a city, as a deputy city manager, because he doesn't want to allow, we want to bring our costs down. The only way is to bring our cost down. We got people are, you know, we outsourcing. Why should we be outsourcing when we got in-house and these people want overtime? They're getting relatively good pay, and they're getting pension, they're getting medical aid, they're getting everything. And Shafat, why should we be being held to ransom by a worker working for the municipality and the community suffering, Shafat?
You make a very valid point. Why should we be held at ransom? Why we should bear the consequences? Or why should we be paying the salary of these people that are causing destruction? And they say they're mending things out. But the bottom line here, Ahmed, is, you know, the unions do the bidding on behalf of these workers. The union, you know, most of them say it's alleged that they are fat cats. If you look into the bank accounts, they got millions and millions of rands, and people are questioning what are being What are you doing with the millions? Are you helping the people out? Are you helping your workers out? But these workers are given, you know, we use a term, the beat, because they got the unions behind them. They got the beat because, you know, besides asking for increase, they also are telling, you know, the authorities, no, we also want our overtime. And we know what overtime is all about. Sabotage and ad. Talk to me, Ahmad.
Shafat, you know, this overtime business, if we work, you know, I've been department to various departments, having a look at it and everything else. When I went to one department, when you see so many hundreds of vehicles coming for tires and make basic repairs and they're sending it out, they don't do it and then they're going to hire a vehicle, that's number one. Secondly, the overtime issue is that we shouldn't be paying overtime because you got a contract. And all these workers in the council have a contract. They have to work from certain times, like the DSW works from 7 to 3:30. The other departments work from 8 to 5. They are there to do their job. They are not just prepared to do their work because they need the overtime. Secondly, the union, you know, these people pay a levy towards the union. Now, if the union don't do anything about it, so they will get kicked out, they'll go to another union. That's why they're coming and fighting for things that where they shouldn't be fighting for. Then they don't have the community at heart, they got the worker at heart, but the worker is wrong. Why would you fight for a worker when he's getting paid in time? Secondly, he's got all his benefits. Thirdly, he's paying his levies to you and you're fighting for something that is unjust and the community is suffering because of that. Now, you know, as everyone says, they should abolish all these unions in the country and like what Margaret Thatcher did in her days in the UK, in the mining industry and everything else they did there. Maybe we need to do something like that. Union is a good thing too, but in our case at the moment, the union are siding with workers where they shouldn't be siding with them because we're not getting service delivery. If you get service delivery and if you need that 5% annual increase, the government must give it to them. But you're not getting no service delivery. The people want overtime. For what? When there is nothing happening.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And then you look at this country. Listen to this, Ahmed. One of South Africa's coal-fired power station managers. He wears a bulletproof vest and has two bodyguards after exposing corruption at the plant. And Eskom's CEO, Andre De Reuter, revealed this as he outlined the huge challenge of combating internal crime syndicates contributing to the country's power crisis. Look at this. You know, we've got criminals, we've got a mafia running most of our, you know, our utilities. Talk to us, Ahmed, about that.
But this is sometimes, you know what, I think that's the reason they don't want to give it outsource that thing, send outsource everything. You know, I learned something over the years in the clothing industry. Why do all top designer houses and all that, they don't want to have a factory? For the same reason, because now you're employing labor, they don't want the labor issue. They give it out, cut, make, and trim. They give it to CMT. It's the same thing. Government used to give it to them, and this is the price. You sit down with them, and this is for that type of work. You, whether you work overtime, whether you got 10 vehicles, and you employ 100 people, that's got nothing to do with us. We give you an area. You look after Spingo Beach. Everything to do with Spingo Beach in terms of electricity, you all are responsible. Finish, give them that. And do a deal with them. That's the only way. And get rid of, maybe we have to get rid of all the stuff in Tigwini and let them go and work for these outsourced people, because that's the only way. Because, you know, yeah, you're sitting here and you expect to get paid, and we are suffering at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope they will listen. They will listen, Ahmed. And also, can you believe it, as you called it, the silly season earlier on, a shortage of drunk driving testing kits across the country. This is what the South African Police Service is telling us. I mean, how they cannot be, you know, up to speed on what they have to do, Ahmed?
Shafar, in everything, we are about 10 years behind at the moment. In every sector, if you look at it, you know, if you go to, you know, I've been to one of the mosques about a month and a half ago in Stenger. Oh, Shafar, if you went and had a look at that mortuary, you know, you say to them, you've got staff here, you've got cleaners here, you've got people come here, they've got their offices here. How do you work in a place like that? In Phoenix, you go to, Phoenix is relatively very clean, but in some places, because of the volume of bodies they're getting, they need to keep it clean. So in various government, you go to some of these police stations, and you go, if you want to go to the toilet, you'll open the door and you want to take a U-turn and go out. That's how bad this whole government sector is. The public works don't want to fix this up because they don't have money. The Department of Health cannot fix the hospital. They don't have the money. The education department, they are taking money from national government to pay the electricity to the council, Itiguini, and they don't pay it. So they take it and they pay it to the teachers and, you know, for various other things. And now we are suffering. 27% of the department, government department, hasn't paid Itiguini the dues in terms of light, water rates, or not the rates, especially light and water. So, you know, they get free, they get exempted from rates because it's a government property. How do a country sustain all these things? And you only, if you look at it, we only got $5 billion from now till the end of June. How are you going to sustain it with the devastation of the flood, two floods we had, the looting that took place last year? How do you sustain it? And this is a problem. Now the government is saying we want to give you $2.2 billion from national government and the province. We didn't, they promised us, Ramaphosa went on national television to tell us that we have earmarked 1 billion rand for the devastation flood in KZN. We have earmarked it, the government will be giving. Up till today, not 1 cent has come. How do you fix things up, Shafat? This is the problem that we are faced with.
So, Ahmed, perhaps your parting words this morning before we let you go?
Shafat, you know, if every one of us, we are crying about service delivery. We need to first and foremost, we have to start writing to the city manager, to the speaker, complaining about all these things. Once the more people start complaining and we can take it up, then only we can get things done. And alhamdulillah, yesterday we managed to get in my area here in Musgrave, we managed to form the Ratepayers Association. Now, if you get everywhere, wherever you get a powerful Ratepayers Association, then you can go and now you're talking with voice, fight the council on 1 to 5. And they don't act within 90 days, then you have a meeting and take a resolution and take them on. This is the only way, because you are a ratepayer. And if you take Musgrave alone from 4th Street, 4.8 billion value of property, third biggest in the country in terms of rates we are paying. Look at the service delivery. Nothing, Shafat. That is my concluding words for today. People need to start writing to the city manager, complain about what the problem they are faced with.
Inshallah, Mother, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.